Isaiah 7:14, and then again repeated in Matthew chapter 1, we find the marvelous word Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Not sure what all I'm going to say today. I haven't been down here using this mic. Maybe I better go back up there. I know she got a hum. I'll do that. I have felt very strongly on what I was to talk about. Wrote out notes, different directions. Not sure exactly which way to go, so I'm going to trust the Lord that he is going to guide me on that. The precious partner. I did say to myself yesterday, there's a sense in which this is an easy topic for me because I believe so strongly in walking with the Lord. I've enjoyed the privilege of physically walking. I don't walk in the winter. When it's terrible cold and icy, I'm getting too old for that. But my favorite way to pray is to walk outside. You have to develop your own way and your time with God. And of course, we constantly emphasize in this ministry time with God, because time with God changes the heart. And out of the heart come all the issues of life. So if we can get the heart right, that'll make all the difference. Matthew 1 verse 18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That in itself is just breathtakingly awesome. Mary, a virgin, her and Joseph had not been together. And she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Last week, I talked about the two visits where Gabriel announced the conception of Christ. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Boy, things have changed, haven't they? Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no physical union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. The precious partner, God with us. The highest goal that you could make in 2017 is to invite the precious partner, the Holy Spirit, to be with you everywhere you go. Now, he can't go everywhere. It'll affect where you go. He can't support every attitude. So it'll affect how you conduct yourself. I want to live in a way where I'm saturated, and that's what I've been praying. That's a little bit private, but felt I needed to say it a couple of weeks ago. And I repeated it again last week. I've been praying, Lord, in 2017, saturate me with the Holy Spirit. I want to become an older man who is saturated with the Holy Spirit, because you bring a presence. You bring a presence. and all the things that the Holy Spirit, the precious dove, symbol of the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took on the form. God can take on various forms. God can do whatever he wants. And he descended as a dove. And so the Spirit was present there in the form of a dove at the baptism of Jesus. But it isn't just about filling our house with doves or hanging angels throughout our car, even though that has value and meaning if you understand what's behind it. It's about embracing, inviting and embracing the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go, this isn't about legalism. I don't want to go anywhere this year that he can't go. And my attitude then, if I'm saturated with the kind and compassionate Holy Spirit, isn't, well, I'll be darned if I'll go in there. I'm a Christian. No, it'll be, oh, I have the precious partner. I don't think he and I fit in there. I have the precious partner with me. I don't think that's probably a place we should be. I value, see, that's where it's at. That's the difference between legalism and heart. Legalism has a list of rules in your pocket that you pull out, and you better follow this or you're not going to heaven. Amazing love, how can it be that a king would die for me, and all I do, I honor you, it says in that song. Lord, is this honorable for you? You want a good year in 2017? You want an excellent year, a blessed, best and blessed year you've ever had? Live in a way that the precious partner will accompany you everywhere you are. Listen to him when he checks you. And if I can just act as if for a word picture, when that attitude comes out toward my spouse that shouldn't be, I want him immediately to call me on it. Oh, does he leave me and not love me anymore when I show my humanity and make a mistake? No. No. I thought it was interesting that the same Sunday that I have the dove on my shoulder, I broke my toe and I'm in this dirty old tennis shoe. And when I said to the Lord, I said, this is going to be an interesting picture. A dove representing the Holy Spirit in my dirty old tennis shoe. And God spoke to me just like that and said, talk about the humanity and still carrying the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you're human, but you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you're human, but you have the Holy Spirit? There's times you're going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean you're not used to the Spirit. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will want nothing to do with you. But the important thing is heeding the voice of the Holy Spirit, the correction of the Holy Spirit. Having the precious partner with you brings correction. I want to be corrected daily, hourly if need be, by the Holy Spirit. The precious partner. I want to read a minute from John chapter 16. John 14, 15, and 16 is when Jesus was preparing his disciples for leaving. And I want you to get this. Now I am going to him who sent me. The disciples aren't taking this real well. Jesus has been with them. He's been their partner. He's been their precious partner. He's been there physically for them to see and touch. And he fed the 5,000 and he ministered and he did miracles. Now I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going back to the Father, he said. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. They were upset. Jesus is leaving. God with us. Wait a minute. His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. He's leaving? But I tell you the truth, it is good for you. I like the old English of the King James in that particular. It says it's expedient or necessary for you that I go away. Because unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send you the Comforter. Jesus, for some of you who are new, Jesus is breaking the news to them. They've enjoyed his company. They thought, oh, wow, this is awesome. And he had said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And they thought, wow, how could we get so fortunate as one who catches a fish, has Peter catch a fish, and there's a coin in the fish's mouth to pay their taxes. You talk about a welfare program, feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And man, let's stick with this guy. Let's stay with him. We want him here all the time. Plus he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now in John 14, 15, and 16, he begins breaking the news. I'm going to go away. And they're like, you're what? But then he says, it's necessary that I go away because I'm going to go away and send you the Comforter. And he will be with you. I'm going to send my Spirit back to dwell with you. I'm going to send my Spirit back to go with you to the Goshen Treatment Center next week. I'm going to send my Spirit back to go to the airbase with you. To work. I'm going to send my Spirit back to go to Chrysler with you to work. I'm going to send my Spirit back to go to Square D with you to work. And it's necessary that I do this. Oh, I get it. You physically before us as we see you, Jesus, you're leaving and going back to the Father to fulfill all things, but you're sending back your Spirit. Could 2017 be a new year in your life of seeking and dwelling with the Spirit? I don't know all what he wants to do in your life. That isn't for me to dictate. But I am urging you, and it is my role to urge you to yield to him. My guess is that if we passed out a pad today and said, what things is God already speaking to you about in your life? All of us could list something. We're aware of some things. The partner, the precious partner. It's necessary, he said, that I go away and I will send the Counselor. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into truth. Precious partner, I want to hear the gentlest breezes of the Holy Spirit. Lord, don't let me miss the most gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he came at Pentecost. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit began with a rushing mighty wind. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it lists. You hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Oh, it's great when God moves in a strong and mighty way. And we've seen it. I was healed of cancer. I've seen him work marvelously in things. But I want to be sensitive to the gentlest whisper, the still small voice that Elijah heard on the mountain. The still small, the quiet whisper. What will he do? He'll lead you into truth. He calls him the Spirit of truth. He calls him the Comforter. Interesting that he calls him the Comforter. I believe that the deepest need of the human heart is comfort. That's what addiction is about, seeking comfort. My heart goes out, and I hope yours too, and I believe it does, for a troubled world that's caught up in addiction. People have grown up, don't be so critical. People have grown up with such emotional pain, they cannot cope. What's wrong with drugs and alcohol and illicit sex and on it goes? It's a substitute for the Holy Spirit. That's what's wrong. It isn't about church dogma and church doctrine and should you do this, shouldn't you do this, should you do this, shouldn't you? That's not what it's about. It's that God is calling us. He doesn't want any substitutes for the Holy Spirit. The devil offers a shortcut. You can fix this right now and you can feel better in 2 minutes. Yes, the Lord's way is often waiting, and it does take some patience, but is the thorough and the right way and the most complete way. And what's wrong with addictions is they're substitutes for the Holy Spirit. So we look at a world differently. We don't look at a world of what's wrong with you doing such a thing. We look at them and say, we understand why you're doing that. We understand why you're doing it. When I saw the horrors of the inner city, that was good for me. When I saw the horrors of the inner city, I said, I see why you're doing this. How else are you going to cope? Life's a broken mess. Everything's dirty around you. Or maybe you came from a family where there's no love and there's all brokenness. And so our heart goes out, the comforter, the spirit of truth, the still small voice. 2017, may it be a year of claiming and yielding and accompanying the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Let us not make it complicated. When Jesus was asked, he said, if your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone? Well, of course not. That's obvious. What kind of a question is that? One might ask. If he asks for fish, will you give him a snake? He said. So will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. I believe many of us over the past 2 or 3 years have been emptying out, made lots of trips to the altar. Emptying out's important. You can't fill a vessel that isn't empty or it isn't truly full of that. And so there's the emptying out process where God speaks to us and empties us. But to the degree that we're willing to empty, he will fill us. To the degree we're willing to empty, he will fill us. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Taking what's God's and gives it to you. That's what he does. He takes what's God's and gives it to you. The precious partner. Brian just sang the song. And I didn't notice till he was singing it that I left out part of the words. I thought I had them all on here. Someone called me this week with a song, and I felt it ties into what I want to say. Appreciated Brian singing it. Just listen to the words a second. I'm feeling so small, I'm standing here weeping. As I'm coming clean of the secrets I'm keeping. Because I've caused so much pain to the ones that I love most, and I'm falling apart. As I carry my heart to your throne, I am completely surrendering. Why are we stopping now to reread that song? Because coming to a place of complete surrender and emptying is what brings and prepares the way for the precious partner. Older Christians, let us be careful. Older Christians, let us be patient. I think sometimes we talk about things in a way and it sounds like we worked them out in about 5 minutes. I've had to remind myself of this in the mentoring group. A lot of those guys working through issues. Theirs issues took me 10 years. Yeah. Kroger's was part of my theological training. 17 years there. Working with people. And I look back now, God was putting me partially through seminary. And yes, there was a time for some formal training too that I had. But I think the main seminary was the years at Kroger's. As you're open at where you work, as your day starts with the precious partner, he's training you all the time. I look back and see where God moved me different places in the company to work. And I can see that he was developing me and preparing me and emptying me, putting the squeeze on. Sometimes marriage problems is an emptying process. God puts the squeeze on you and some stuff comes out you know is in there. Anybody ever had that? And you react in a way that shocks you and you say, where did that come from? God's squeezing and working to empty you. He'll let you throw, he'll even throw you into situations. I was going to say he'll let you walk into situations, but he'll even throw you into situations where you'll react in ways that surprise you. One of the best things that ever happened to me, and you poor folks in the core group have heard this 10 times, but one of the best things that ever happened to me is what I thought was the worst, is when I grabbed a fellow employee and pushed him up against the wall in anger and threw a temper tantrum and threatened him and almost lost my job because it revealed that I had a bitterness. I went home and said, Lord, why did I do that? And then I realized that I had a lot of bitterness toward my father and my brother that I was carrying. And every time somebody bumped it, buddy, they would get it. That's the best thing ever happened to me. Don't be in despair when the squeeze is on. God is emptying you to prepare for more of the precious partner. Empty me, Lord, should be our prayer. As we approach this new year, continue to empty me, Lord, that I may be filled with your presence. I want to be able to take the precious partner with me. Surrender is a key. I'm feeling so small. I'm standing here weeping and I'm coming clean to the secrets I'm keeping. I've caused so much pain to the ones I love. I'm falling apart as I carry my heart to your throne. I am completely surrendering. I'm finally giving you everything. You're my redeemer. I run to the cross because you are more than enough. Lord, complete me. I'm yours completely. That's, and it goes on to say, I'm letting go. Those are awesome words. I joked a while ago about wearing this tennis shoe with the broken toe the same day that I have the dove on my shoulder, and I felt God said, talk about that. I want to go back to that for a minute. Because as we illustrate the heavenliness of the Holy Spirit, we're very human at the same time. God puts the treasure in earthen vessels. You don't have your glorified body yet. Now listen to me. Some of you think, the Holy Spirit can't work in my life because I'm still too human. If you yield your heart, he'll use you anyway. He'll use you with your old tennis shoe. He'll use the human side of you. Now, he'll continue developing you, and you'll become more effective as you grow. But don't buy the lie that I just got started here. I can't be used of God in some way. He'll use you in your humanity. You can have your heavenliness. Now, if you're willfully setting your jaw and going against God and doing stuff that deliberately disobedient, he's going to fly and land over there. And that isn't because he doesn't love you. That's because he can't be part of that. Remember the message, anger takes you out? God doesn't quit loving you when you get mad and throw a horrible fit and say something you shouldn't. But he does say, sweetheart, I can't be part of this. Sweetheart, I believe it's that way. Sweetheart, I can't be part of this. Now, if this is the way you're going to be, I'm going to have to go sit over there because I can't be part of this. But if you stop at that point and say, hey, hey, ho, 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 stay here. I want you part of this. And soften the yielding. Completely surrendering. That's what surrender is. It's an hour-by-hour thing, Kevin. It's as we go along. It's hour-by-hour. As things come up, I surrender. I've had things in my 20s that I bet I surrendered 500 times. You can wear God out. If he sees a tender, open heart, he'll wait as long as it takes. Now, you set your jaw. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it my way. Last week we talked about letting go of the boat. Stepping over, letting go of the boat. Sometimes the boat's I, me, mine. Sometimes that's what we need to let go of. I, me, my. Self-centeredness. It's all about me. You ever been around somebody that's all about them? That wears you out real quick. It's just all about them. It's obvious. It's all about them. It just wears you out. I, me, my. I, me, my, mine. Let go of the boat. Let's go out. The tempest is rough sometimes. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's let go of the boat and come into a complete surrender. Lord, I surrender to you. Not my will. Your will be done. The partner. the protector. I want to say something to you about this. I felt the Lord's nudge. Heard this gentle whisper. Let's talk about the protector for a minute. I've talked about all these for a long time, but I want to talk to you about the protector. Something you may have missed in Scripture. I missed it for a long time. Here's a reason you need the Holy Spirit badly in your life. Protection from the enemy. Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. Now, stay with me. This is good. This is real good. God gave me this. Let's get off this minute. John 17. John 17, and I'd like you to remember this. This would be good for your Bible study. John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he also prayed for us. How we know that is that he said in the prayer, I pray not only for these, but for all of them that believe in their word. Hello, that's us. I'm not just praying for you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm praying for everybody that reads Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? And he said something powerful. This never got me till this Christmas. I love it when God gives you a new thought after 40 years. I never had this thought. In John, I was reading and asking God what would be good for Christmas season to speak on. He showed me this verse in John 17. Jesus was praying and he said, protect them through the name that you gave me. You remember that? And I'll have it up here in a minute. Protect them through the name that you gave me. Well, what's the name he was given? His name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. The Holy Spirit is our protection, new believer. You need the Holy Spirit. You can't deal with that smutty mouth factory and all the lust that's in that place by yourself. The protector. Protect them, John 17. Protect them. All I have is yours. The glory that has come to me through this, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of the name you gave me. John 17, verses 9 through 12. Protect them through the name you gave me. Well, what name did you give him? His name shall be called Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1. That's the name. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He told us right from birth in his human form. He was before that. He was forever and ever. But he took on human form. He told us right from birth. I'm going to be right there with you. We need the Holy Spirit for protection from the enemy. He's the protector. Boy, in the last few years, as I've walked closer to the Lord and closer to the Lord and closer to the Lord, and I noticed a huge difference after I took the year off and went to Praise Mountain in Colorado and deepened, and God took me to a new level that he told me secretly, and he took me to a new place. And some of that I won't share. But what have I noticed? I have noticed a difference in principalities and powers fighting with me. We need the protection of the Holy Spirit, the precious partner, the enabler. The enabler. He'll enable you. Oh, I want to be bolder. Oh, I want to represent the Lord better. The enabler. You can't do it in yourself. You're this tennis shoe like me. You can't. You're human. You're made out of flesh. There's 7 years of flesh and sin in this arm. Pastor Bishop, you'd say, I can't wait to see what our glorified bodies will look like. There's 7,000 years of sin in this arm. I got a kick out of Alan the other day. He's sick today. He has such horrible sinus problems, and he knows some of that was his making, and he says that, or I wouldn't say it. He says, all the stuff I put in my nose, I have all kinds of sinus problems. He's driving along and come back from Oklahoma, and all of a sudden he looked over at me, and he had about this stack of Kleenexes about this tall, and he said, I can't wait till I get my glorified nose. And I started laughing. We have a physical body, but he puts the treasure in earthen vessels. He looks down there and he sees Tom Robbins and he says, man, he's a chemical mess. I'm going to put my spirit within. He's yielding to me. He's surrendering to me. He's opening his heart more and more. I'm going to place my spirit within him, and he's no respecter of persons. Now, you'll have different roles in the kingdom, and you'll be at different levels of authority as you grow. You know, that'll all come with time, and you'll grow and develop. But if you're a brand new believer here this morning, I want you to know, this year, plead with you to make it a year of seeking God's Spirit. He's the enabler, the comforter. I'm almost done. Keep close. Keep him close in 2017. Stay surrendered. I give you everything completely. Stay surrendered. Let go of the boat. Boat can be a lot of things. Last week, we kind of took it the direction of faith and taking a new step and all of that. But the boat can be, and I feel that for some reason, the nudge of the Lord to emphasize this today, the boat can be me, myself, my, I. Not my will, thine be done. Stay surrendered. And I could talk about all these. Just want to highlight one in particular. Abstain from sin. It's the New Testament that says abstain from the very appearance of evil. This isn't about do's and don'ts, but it is about wanting the precious partner to go everywhere with me. I don't want to be in a relationship that the precious partner can't be part of. Are you with me? I don't want to be in a relationship where the precious partner can't be part of it. God won't go against his word. We're not to have intimacy without covenant. I don't want to be in a relationship that the precious partner can't be part of. Put away anger. I could spend a lot of time on all these, but I just want to have them up here for you. Put away anger. Anger takes you out. Keep a forgiving heart. Keep a forgiving heart. When I choose not to forgive, I shoo off the precious partner. It isn't that he doesn't love me anymore. It's he can't be part of that. Choose mercy. He's a God of mercy. David knew God best, I believe. And we could battle over that, whether it's Moses or Joshua, but I believe David knew God best. He was a man after God's own heart. Jesus was called the Son of David by his biological body, through Mary, physical body. I believe David knew God. And in the book of Psalms, he uses the word mercy 117 times. If you didn't know my wife, Pam, and every time I mentioned her, if you'd never seen her before, you'd never been around her, and every time her name came up, I said, gracious, gracious. She's so gracious, gracious, gracious. You'd say, well, I want to meet her. Every time he mentions her name, he says, gracious. David used the word mercy 117 times in the book of Psalms. The precious partner will bring an attitude of mercy. We run an outreach center. A prayer of mine is that we'll all have an attitude of mercy. And that's maintained through the precious partner. In closing, I want to talk just a minute about bring a presence. I refer to that often. Bring a presence. Do you know that if you walk with the precious partner, you bring a presence with you. Claim it. Humbly carry it. You bring a presence. Don't underestimate you going into a room, the difference it makes. I've had times I entered a room and never said anything, but I could tell it made a difference, and people came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for coming in that tense moment. That wasn't about intimidating anybody or anybody being worried. I've had times when people didn't know me, but I could tell my presence had made a difference. God's no respecter of persons. You bring a presence. I want to bring a presence. Because, listen, because what he does, I will do. Jesus said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. No man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. I will draw people to Christ with my presence if I display him properly. Does that make sense? I've always been troubled, and I saw a lot of this growing up in legalistic churches, with a Christianity that nobody wanted. If I lift up Christ, it says I'll draw men. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. If I live Christ, as you get to know me, you'll say, I don't know what that guy's got, but I want what he has. Pastor Bishop did that. I was so privileged to be mentored by Jack Robbins and Ronald Bishop. I saw something in that man, and it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. I saw an honoring of God and a humility in him that sparked something in me that's never died. I still have it. A hunger was planted in me that's never died. He brought a presence. You can bring a presence. And what the Holy Spirit does, you will do. Now stay with me for a second. I'm almost done. You will find that you're comforting. If the main thing the Holy Spirit's called comforting, then my presence should be somewhat comforting. I want to enter a hospital room and people, maybe they don't even define it that way, but when it's all over, they think, I received some comfort. No man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. The Holy Spirit draws people. So in my presence, Vince, I believe people hang out with you. They feel a drawing to God by being around you, because the precious partner is within you. Jesus said he'll not be with you, I'll be in you. Can you handle one more? You might not like this one as well. Sometimes the presence of the Holy Spirit makes you uncomfortable with your sin. God's presence makes you uncomfortable with sin. If you or I are sinning, the presence of God convicts us. It says there in John that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world. Convict, we feel conviction. So, new Christian, when you go to that family get-together where everybody's partying and doing things they shouldn't be, and people say, you make us uncomfortable, don't let that destroy you. Because the presence of the Lord sometimes does create a discomfort. Does that make sense? Now, we're to be full of mercy, and we're to be full of compassion, and we're to bring comfort to the hurting, but in the presence of blatant sin, the Holy Spirit makes it uncomfortable. Now, I'm going to just go out here just a second, and I'll come back. I've had people ask me, you know, we're being asked to tolerate all kinds of things in our world. We're being asked to tolerate all kinds of things, facilitate all kinds of things, all kinds of sins. You're supposed to accept it. It's perfectly fine. God makes me uncomfortable with my sins. He deeply loves me, and he's deeply merciful, but he makes me uncomfortable with my sins. And I want to be the type of light to the world that if God wants to use me to expose something, that's okay too. Okay? So there's some... You follow me? There's some heavier stuff here. Where is that line of, well, we don't want to show acceptance to this? Pam and I were talking about this here because we had to deal with this in our own family, extended family. They're rewriting the moral book in America. So where is the line? You know, when do you say enough? We have a relative that's deep in a sinful relationship. I don't want to present the gospel in a way that that person feels comfortable with that. Does that make sense? Because he doesn't make me feel comfortable. When I go against him, I begin getting real uncomfortable. The precious partner begins warning me. And that comforter changes to be careful, be careful, be careful. This isn't right. Be careful, conscience starts bothering you, okay? When I represent the Lord to others, you have to figure out where that line is, you know? We reach out to the world, we're salt to the earth, we're light to the world. But I know Pam and I have come in agreement on that, on how we handle a situation in our extended family. We don't want to ever be in a situation where we're saying with our actions, this is perfectly okay. If we're making that person comfortable with that, I think we're violating. I have an individual and extended family that's deeply in sin. I never go to a family get-together without hugging that person at some point alone in the parking lot and saying, I love you. And they know I love them. But when the family all gets together, I will not, by God's grace, I will not act as if that's all okay. Because it is, and I'm a representative, and that's not okay. You with me? So where is that line? Kind of went on a little exit rant, but felt like that's important. Because we're dealing with this stuff every day. When you are projecting the gospel and the Holy Spirit in a way that you're making people comfortable with their sins, you've crossed the line. God is not comfortable with my sin. I'll take anybody on that one. And I don't think anybody wants to, but I think that's, God does not make me comfortable with my sin. When I begin to get where I shouldn't be, the Holy Spirit's, whoa, 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 easy. No, Tom, come back here, Tom, come back. And when I make the world comfortable, I've crossed a line. I have someone in our family who has to be a Christian. Well, I've told them how I feel about it. I told them 10 years ago how I felt about it. That's enough. No, you're making them comfortable. A little heavier stuff here. I want to be the real deal. I want to be the real deal. Now, David used mercy 117 times. That's why I catch my one family member out in the parking lot. I always look for this individual to be alone when no one's around. And I always go up and I said, I love you. I know it. I know it. We'll make sure you do. Because I do. And I'm praying for you. I know it. Because I am. I want to represent him better than ever before. I want to bring a presence. And folks, that presence may be a balm. It may be a comfort. It may be a healing. It may be an encouragement. So often it is. It may be a display of mercy. But it may be a check of conviction too. Okay? You're not going to hear that in every church. But it's the truth. It may be a check of conviction. Make sense? May this be a year of precious partner. May it be a year of embracing the precious partner. And I close with this. His name will be called Emmanuel. John 17 again. Don't want you to forget that thought. God gave it to me for you. Jesus in his prayer. What could be more powerful than that? Jesus praying for us. I pray for these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sitting in. I pray for these, not only for these, but all that believe on their words, those that read the New Testament and come to me. Protect them through the name you gave me. What in the world is the name he was given? His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that protects us in a troubled world in 2017. Seek his presence. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for this wonderful New Year's Day. Thank you for the Christmas season. Thank you for the beautiful songs this morning. Thank you for the prayer time with Kevin and Abby and Hilbert's, with the various families. It was noticeable to me that a number of families were here, members of families together praying. I saw Danielle and Justin praying together, and just it seemed that families were praying for each other, and that's encouraging. I just pray that you would minister to them. Be with our church in Haiti as they're in service right now as well. May your anointing be on them. Watch over us this week, and may we have a fresh sense of seeking your spirit. I'd ask that the guys in the mentoring group will be giving thought to what are my goals, and I'm hopeful it'll be tied in somewhat maybe what we talked about this morning of the precious partner and more of him in our lives as we meet on Tuesday at 6 here at the CMO. Guide us as we go from this place. Thank you for each one. Bless the youth meeting this evening. And may you be very present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.